NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time
to wake up!
Wake up! Wake up!
WarChant.com is your ultimate seminal sports source.
And this is Wake Up War Chant,
presented by
the vitamins.
Now here's WarChant.com's ass on Hunch of Andy
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! Wake Up War Chant, presented by Vitamin Energy. Coming up on today's show, the rest of the mailbag. Honoring the Seminole Tribe properly, allocating coaches on the field and on the road for recruiting, and a whole bunch of questions about alignment, realignment, conference stuff. Wake Up WarChant, presented by Vitamin Energy, vitaminenergy.com, promo code WarChantBogo, WarChant B-O-G-O. 64% of clinical participants after a 14-day trial reported, Corey, that they felt the shots are a great mood booster. 64 said, great mood booster. 78% agreed the shots were effective at reducing brain fog. And listen, you know, you might not be foggy right now, but, you know, you're thinking about the fourth, or maybe we recorded this and it's being dropped after the fourth. And, you know, just take a little shot of Focus Plus. And you'll be back in the game. Good, strong. VitaminEnergy.com, promo code WarChantBogo. WarChant.com, ultimate Seminole sports source. 5-star rating and review, please. Also, thumbs up on the YouTube. Please hit it. Certainly would appreciate it. Corey Clark's here, everybody. We probably did one of these that you're listening to. We probably did this like days ago. But nonetheless, Corey, I still trust and hope that you're doing well.
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you so much for asking.
All right. We don't have any kind of open, although I guess I could maybe stretch for one if we want to. I saw this.
No, you don't have to. It's a July 4th week, buddy. It's a holiday week. We could just give them what they want.
It's over 5 pages on Tuesday. It might be locked by the time you're listening to this. But somebody found the branding instructions from the university when it comes to discussing the Florida, the Seminole Tribe. And it was a lot of things that, like, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Updated policies aim to educate students and staff on the proper ways to engage with and respect the Seminole Tribe of Florida and its cultural traditions. Policies are as follows. Now, one of them says, and I think this has been the case for a long while, like face paint of any kind, you know, don't do that. Yeah. These are banned images, banned content that may not be used under any circumstance. Can't use a Seminole flag, their seal, unless you're authorized. No tomahawks, unless it's the stickers on the back of the helmets. No objects impaled on a spear, like the rival mascot. Phrases, this is one that got everybody talking. Phrases such as Seminole Nation, Knoll Nation, Tribe, Scalpum, Territory, War, War Path, and Mascot. Shout out Gene Williams for naming us War Chant. That made it under there. You know, I don't know really want to go where I want to go this quarter, but like I 100% understand the need to show extreme deference and respect to the Seminole Tribe. You know, we can argue who's profited better through this relationship, whether it's been the actual tribe or the university. If we end up going away from being the Florida State Seminoles, I'll be okay with it. I really will. And I am in the minority on this one, as I am most of the time when it comes to these really hot button topics. But if we get to the point where these certain things, I mean, words that are in the fight song are banned. And again, I don't know if this is updated, if this is from 2022, but somebody just found and decided to post it on the message board on July to talk about it. But like, and I'm not trying to go any kind of weird way about like, oh, I don't want to have to tiptoe around these things. But like, if there are so many things that we have done in the past that can create problems or don't come off respectful, then it's like, well, then, you know, we can probably find other ways to help promote the tribe and keep them as part of the university, but maybe not necessarily tie them to our athletics programs. And I'd be okay with that.
What? We couldn't just go right to the mailbag?
All right, let's go to the
question. You threw this out. Well, now I got to respond. Yeah, man, I think that the one difference when it comes to, I've always thought, is there is a real relationship. And it's, you know, the Cleveland Indians, it was such a vague nickname. Mm. Number one, they're not even Indians. Old Dumbo, 600 years ago, thought he had landed in India, and that's why they were called Indians. So they weren't even the Cleveland Native Americans. They were the Cleveland Indians. I don't, you know, yes, there can be some very, you know, I don't want to say touchy, just awkward, not great looks. And there have been over the decades. I think we're in a place now as a society, and quite frankly, I do think the fan base is in a place now where most people know, yeah, let's not wear a headdress. Let's not paint our faces. Let's not do like one of those things. That sounded like the war chant. You know what I'm talking about, where you hit your mouth hand. Yeah. I didn't want to do it. That stuff doesn't happen much. But I do think that I would be upset. I would be upset. Not upset like you big pansies, you can't see cancel culture, all that. Just upset because this is what I've grown up with. And I do think it's a beneficial relationship for both. I think Florida State really has gone – I don't know if they've gone above and beyond. I think they've done what they needed to do. But they have established and developed a real relationship with the Seminole Tribe of Florida. And I do think, honestly, there is pride with the Seminole Tribe of Florida and Florida State University that works both ways. Like, they were unconquered. They never did surrender.
Yeah, man.
You know, that there is some stuff to really, you know, I don't know, take pride in when it comes to this particular tribe. Yeah, there can be some stuff that's not great. It's not a great look, but and I'm not saying that flippantly. I know there is, but, you know, that's what a topic. What a topic. Yeah, it is odd that some of the things in the fight song are banned. I also think there's not really anything wrong with putting a gator on a spear.
Yeah.
Why would that be forbidden?
It's also, how about this? We would lose like 50% of our subscribers if we had to put this on our website. But puns using Knoll are banned as well. So like Keminoles, or, you know, we got like No Matter What or Knoll Surrender. Can't do the puns.
So this was an edict from the administration to what?
To educate students and staff on the proper ways to engage with and respect the Seminole Tribe of Florida and its culture.
Got it. But obviously the fan base isn't signing some contract where they agree not to call it Knoll Nation and all that stuff.
So what, the students can't say you got to scalp them? Like that part of the fight song?
Of course they can. What's funny is it reminds me, I think I brought this up before on the show, maybe headlines, when PETA... God love PETA. They came out with that list, like, I think it was like 5 or 6 years ago. All these sayings that have, instead of killing two birds with one stone, they said, how about feeding two birds with one scone? And they came, like, that's one example of like 12 of them that they listed. They tweeted out a list of all these different things you could say instead of killing two birds with one stone or these other things.
I found it. Yeah.
The first tweet underneath it that I saw was, don't you guys have bigger fish to fry? Which I thought was one of the all-time best replies ever on Twitter. Was the very first one was, don't you guys have bigger fish to fry than this? It was making fun of PETA.
Harmful, take the bull by the horns. Helpful, take the flower by the thorns. There's
that
all
seem
these.
Even helpful. Why would you want to take it by the thorns?
Don't say open can of worms, open Pandora's box. Don't say packed in like sardines, say packed in like pickles. Instead of bring home the bacon, bring home the bagels. Now, these are for children. It says animal friendly idioms that your students will love.
Oh, okay. So they had the two birds with one stone.
The one scone. Yes. It also, instead of crying, don't cry over spilled milk. Say cry over burnt toast. which I think I'd be more apt to crying if my toast was burnt as opposed to the milk being spilled, personally.
You know, you say that, but as somebody that was married to someone that didn't have the easiest time breastfeeding.
Oh, well, that's different, yeah.
But I know, but the point is, Shanna, God love her, tried, really did try, and I have no idea what it's like as a woman to try to do that and not be able to. But she struggled with it. Like, she struggled with it emotionally and physically producing milk.
Yeah.
So one time she had finally gotten most of a full bottle done after, I felt like, hours.
No, Corby,
and she accidentally knocked it over and kind of just broke down.
Oh.
And I finally got to say that to someone and mean it.
Oh, my gosh, Corey, I hate you. Oh, we're even now for me bringing up the Seminole tribe and you bringing up an absolutely traumatic episode of your ex-wife's life.
But I added, there's no use crying over spilled breast milk. And I actually made her laugh. That was probably
okay.
She laughed. I wasn't making fun of her. I was trying to joke with her to tell her it was all right and to make her feel better, which is my go-to. Typically, and she did laugh in the midst of tears. That's probably a little too personal, but we're here. We're a family show. We share stuff like that.
Yes, I just want to recalibrate what I said. Like, I would understand if there's a point where we no longer can use these images and such, or no longer we'll be able to use them as a school symbol. But like, I would just be like, you know what? Maybe it's just for the best. But for now, we're not under fire. They like us. We like them. Shout out to Zay Thomas, who committed at the Seminole Hard Rock Casino. First ever young man that's received a football scholarship that has Seminole blood. So
they had another. Was it Jeremy Matlow?
Correct. Yeah.
Oh, that was the one. He actually played in the game, right? I think he caught a pass or scored a touchdown.
Let me double check. That's a guy it's Matlow, but he's the commissioner in Tallahassee. That Jeremy.
Oh, yeah, correct. Who was that?
The FSU football player.
So he was the first Seminole, the actual member of the Seminole tribe. Justin Matlow. Who can keep track? That's on me. Apologies. So he played in the game a few years ago. But this kid is actually getting a full scholarship, which is obviously the first time that's happened. So that is really, really neat.
Yeah, and he did it at the Seminole Hard Rock Casino.
Yeah.
So look at that. Look at that. All right, let's get to the questions. James _ Noel. This was like the runner-up to generating discussion sparked by Cummins, which doesn't get you anything, but just want to let you know, James, good question. Keep it up. Maybe next time. Wake up! I've got a question for you guys. With the new unlimited coaching rule change, wouldn't it behoove us to hire all ace recruiters as, quote, coaches to be sent on the road recruiting? We can move more developmental coaches like Randy Shannon, Adam Fuller, etc., to exclusively be play calling on the sideline and developing players on the team. Please, one of you reach out to Mike Norvell and make this change today. Some of our coaches are killing us on the recruiting trail.
Well, I mean, they're doing all right, gang. I know they missed out on the kid on Tuesday, but they're doing pretty well on the recruiting trail. I think that's something that will happen. Like, you can absolutely hire these guys that are known as really good recruiters. You could also just go, get Sarah Blakely to really start giving to the university. That's a good recruiting tool. Like, I get what you're saying. I'm going to keep coming back to it. I don't know the impact that a good recruiter or a bad recruiter has in the world of NIL. I can't imagine Arkansas. What do they just have? Do they have I don't even know, like David Blaine? Did he trick the kid? Like, who would go to Arkansas over Florida State? Especially a kid from Georgia. He chose Arkansas over Florida State and Georgia. What is it? Georgia not have a good recruiter either? Like, I I'm not dismissing the question. I'm not dismissing concerns that people have over certain coaches on the staff when it comes to that. I just think I get what you're saying, like, but it's not – this isn't 2011 where you could be like, hey, Eddie Grant, hey, Coach Craig, you
Greg
guys
Hudson.
Aren't going to necessarily call plays for me because you're not anyway. You're always on the road. I got the play. You're always on the road. You're never on the side. You come back Saturday afternoon. You come back Friday nights for the official visits. You're leaving again on Sunday. You have nothing to do with the day-to-day, week-to-week operations of this football team trying to get – putting a game plan together. I get that. I just don't know. And that's – if you can do it, if that makes sense, Absolutely. You know teams are going to do it. You know what I mean? I get it. So you say Adam Fuller. You don't have to. This is the actual answer here that makes sense. Sorry.
That's all
it
right.
would
Keep
be going. Nice if Adam Fuller didn't have to worry about any of that.
Don't
if
you
he
think
didn't
he
have
would
to call
to?
Up. I mean, I like, don't know, man.
If I'm Adam Fuller, I'd be like, Mike, please, I don't like doing this, man. I don't want to do recruiting anymore. Like, I
oh, yeah,
like,
that's what I'm
thing.
Saying.
Yeah, yeah.
So wouldn't that be cool if he's like, I'm at least from July 25th to December 10th, all I'm thinking about is this football team and getting better.
Yeah, man.
So don't ask me to call the 17-year-old from Palm Beach.
Yep.
That's Jesse's job.
Right.
I will talk to that kid when he's on campus. Otherwise, let them know I am putting together a game plan every week. This is taking my full time. Because legitimately, it would be like Wade Phillips in the NFL having to call some 19-year-olds and ask them how their day was and how's the girlfriend and you still like us? We still in your top five? And also put together a game plan. That's what these college coaches have had to do for years. So on that front, I think it's a really good idea, and I think teams will do it. I guess my pushback was just on the ace recruiter part of it because I don't know what that even means anymore. But I do like the fact that you would have real coaches who are called coaches that could be on the road full-time recruiting, and they don't have to worry about the current players wouldn't even know their names because all they're doing is acquiring talent for the future teams.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like Chip Kelly's probably in heaven now, right? Like, you know, he's at Ohio State. He doesn't have to worry.
Yeah.
You know, like he can tell like Ryan Day, like straight up, like whatever. You don't want to call him the offensive coordinator. I don't care. Like I don't have to be one of the 13 guys that can do off campus recruiting. But you're going to pay me like I'm your best coach, you know, and I'm just going to focus on ball. And Ryan Day's going to be like, okay, sure, that's fine. So I mean, I think that's maybe kind of a cool thing that we might not be accounting for when we hear about all this stuff.
And won't it be cool too, Aslan? Do you think we're to the point with this sport that we love and love to hate and hate to love that like that stuff about a family feel and I don't know. I don't want to disparage that too much because I do think that Norvell they buy into it and Norvell preaches it and everything. But I'm saying like kids make decisions based on their future, not that they got along with the position coach.
Right.
Like Chip Kelly, I don't know that anybody would want to hang out with him for more than 30 minutes. He's just a weirdo. But, man, can he coach offense? Typically. Yeah. He has in the past anyway. Wouldn't that be a cool thing to be? Like the NFL, like it doesn't matter if the quarterback coach is nice to a kid's mom in the NFL. It doesn't matter if the Falcons linebackers coach went to high school with his high school coach. It doesn't matter. It just becomes a business. Like, can you make our team better? And can you, coach, make me a better player and get me to the NFL? In all the other stuff, the superfluous stuff about whether you were nice to a grandma on a trip or on a visit, none of that will matter because, number one, it's NIL. Money talks. Money is a lot louder than kindness. It matters more. It trumps more. And it trumps more. It's family. It means more than family for a lot of kids. So I just wonder if we're going to get to that point where it does become much more professionalized. Mm. And it is like, yeah, I'm going to come to Florida State. Well, what's your relationship like with Coach Fuller? I haven't met him, but I watch his defenses, and I saw how many guys he got drafted last year. I think I can fit in. Wouldn't that be a cool place to be?
I'm here for
where
it,
they
man.
don't have to do all that nonsense, all that glad handing. You hire the guys to do the glad handing and to go visit mom at her work or whatever. You just get to coach football and make really good football players and get them to the NFL and win games.
Something else that we haven't mentioned, another third rail. You know, when they passed the whole 13, you know, the unlimited coaching. On-field instruction, 13, though, are only allowed to recruit off-campus, was that they also voted to remove marijuana from the banned drug class. The NCAA drug testing program intended to focus on integrity of competition. Cannabis products do not provide a competitive advantage, said the chairman of the committee.
Okay.
So, I mean, the guys were getting tested. Now, and I'm sure they still found ways to have extracurricular activities and keep their eligibility intact. But I also wonder, and this isn't obvious, this is not a Florida State specific thing at all, but I just wonder when all these guys, now they have the green light for the green stuff. Like, I wonder how much that's going to affect teams. And again, it's more rhetorical maybe than anything else, Corey. I mean, unless you have something you want to add to that. But that's something I feel like, you know, we keep talking about the unlimited coaching staffs and the communication and the headset and the two-minute warning. And then last year we talked about them stopping the clock or keeping the clock running, rather, instead of stopping it after first downs. Yeah. And it's like, man, this might be the one thing where it's like this might affect the performance of players a little bit more than the rest of that stuff.
Weed? Are you talking about weed?
Yeah. I mean, it's not a performance enhancing thing, but like maybe you kind of were like, man, I kind of got to tamp it down during the season because they do test and I don't want to get hit and I don't want to get, you know, but again, there's also probably ways to figure out a way to keep doing that and pass the test. But now the fact that it's like you don't have to worry about it at all. Like, I think the NFL still tests you like during the off season, or maybe they test in season and the off season you're fine. NCAA straight up like, yeah, we don't care. We're not testing anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I get what you're saying. I don't know that it's going to make a big difference. Well, I know it probably won't make a big difference one way or another, because when was the last time you heard of somebody getting popped for weed? Is that Greg Reed?
I'm just talking about now that you know that you're not going to get tested, like you can maybe smoke more than you were going to, and then maybe you won't be as good of a student, maybe you won't be as good of a football player. That's all. I'm just thinking, like, maybe now that you can, it's all you can eat, maybe you're going to gain a couple pounds.
Okay. All right. Okay. I don't know how to attack this. You're throwing stuff out to me at left from left field. I would say that I would be surprised if guys were not partaking in that last year, even when they were playing. I don't know how often they got tested,
right?
And maybe they got a week's warning. And I'm talking about across the country.
Correct. Yes.
Who gets suspended for weed? The last person that got suspended for weed was that female sprinter that was
Jakari
taken out
of
the Olympics. Yeah, which is just preposterous.
Yeah, because it's not a performance-enhancing
of
drug.
Of course. So, and it's not illegal, really, anywhere anymore. I mean, it's, you know, it's not legal, but it's not illegal either. So, I don't know. It's I would think athletes that play at this caliber, that have the goals that these kids do, will probably not partake if it's going to affect them negatively. You would hope, because their futures are on the line in a place like Florida State. If you're in the MAC and you're the second string right guard, have at it, man. Football practice is hard. Like, give yourself a break. But yeah, these guys that want to go, they don't tend to do a lot. These high achieving athletes to negatively impact their chances of, you know, success.
Back to the real questions from our valued subscribers over at warchant.com.
You don't have anything else? What about like some of these Supreme Court decisions?
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
Introducing the new Starbucks Pairings menu, where you can get a tall brewed coffee or tea, hot or iced, paired with a croissant starting at $5, or with a breakfast sandwich starting at $6. Because at Starbucks, we know that some things are better together. Limited time offer at participating stores. Restrictions apply. Visit starbucks.com/pairings to learn more.
Hi, I'm Josie. My daughter turns 5 today. I'm also an Ohio State Highway Patrol trooper. When you move over and slow down, you're making sure I can get home to celebrate with my daughter.
When you see flashing lights, remember, they're not just roadside workers. Thank you for moving over and slowing down.
It keeps breaking 6-3, Corey. I just don't get it. S-Quinn67, wake up. It's Independence Day. Because of this fantastic holiday, I thought it'd be timely to ask the following. By the way, this is the conference realignment portion of the show, everybody. So if that's not your cup of tea, look in the show notes. In retrospect, would it have been better to have remained independent back in the 90s and maintain our own television rights and have just gone on steady kicking everybody's ass? Or was joining a conference, even the ACC, a wise thing to do? We seem to be fighting our way out of that decision now, but did it serve its purpose at the time? I was in school at FSU when we moved into the ACC. I don't remember it being a popular move. We took pride in going all over the country and winning. Looking forward to your thoughts, S. Quinn 67, class of 93.
I think the one thing you would have had a hard time with as more teams joined conferences around that time in the late 80s, early 90s, is the schedule. Maybe you don't get to schedule think about all the teams they used to play back then. It was East Carolina. It was Tulane. It was Memphis. On and on. You scheduled some independents, South Carolina. Well, then South Carolina joined a conference, and they weren't going to play you anymore. And who are you going to replace them with? And I get it. I understand. To answer the question, I don't think Florida State was served any better or worse or any better by joining the conference.
Ooh.
If they could have kept that schedule, the same type of schedule, when they're playing Michigan's and they're playing Ohio State's, and you know they're going to play Florida and Miami every year. It's not like they got a lot of
Why couldn't we have been Notre Dame South? Why could we not have been like agnostic Notre Dame?
Yeah, I think you could have. I just don't know that – I don't know who you play. I think the schedule would have been difficult. But if you could schedule three SEC teams and three ACC teams a year, because they used to. They used to play LSU home and home. They played Michigan away, away and away. Ohio State and away and away. Notre Dame away. But they made those schedules where they – back in the 80s, they still played all these teams I guess theoretically you could have done it, but like you don't see a lot of like they were playing Ohio State like in I feel like they played them in October. Well, no teams do that now. They don't play non-conference games in October. All those teams would have been falling over backwards to play you in September. But then what do you do from like September 20th to December when they're all playing having to play conference games? That I think would have been the issue. Notre Dame is Notre Dame. But they also get the three military schools that's cooked into their schedule every – don't they play all three every year?
I don't think they play Air Force. I know they play Army and Navy.
I don't know if they play Navy.
I don't even know if they play Army.
Yeah, they play Navy every year. Yeah, I guess they don't. But they get – the lucky Notre Dame, they get five ACC games a year. Yeah. So if Florida State could have worked out something like that, would have been perfect. But, yes, I don't – it's not like Florida State gained any prestige over the last – 30 years by beating NC State and Wake Forest and, Syracuse, Boston College and all that. They gained Clemson as a rival.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all that was really gained for the last 30 years of ACC football for Florida State's purposes.
It's the weird thing about talking about this that we acknowledge the fact that everything's about football, but we also acknowledge that there's more than just a football team. So, I think, by being independent, I mean, listen, isn't Notre Dame ACC and everything besides football? Like they do,
correct.
They are part of a conference, Notre Dame, but their football team isn't. So, I guess at that point, how does your tennis team, your swim team, softball and baseball to a lesser degree, I guess, like, how do they find ways to stay relevant and solvent? And you probably at that point did need conference affiliation.
Well, because the Metro went away, right? I assume it did. I don't really know what did Florida State leaving the Metro destroy the Metro? Like I don't know how that happened. But the Metro used to be, for the people that don't know, that's the conference Florida State was in everything but football, where they weren't independent, and all those schools were independent in football, was like Tulane, Southern Miss, Memphis, Louisville, and some others. South Carolina, I think, was a Metro team. So they had that for the other schools, but I don't know how it worked once Florida State left. It didn't work well because it doesn't exist anymore. But I don't know if it went away right away, or if it went away like Florida State joined the ACC because the Metro was dismantling, or they dismantled the Metro on their way to joining the ACC. I don't know how that worked.
Looks like in 91 we left, and then South Carolina also decided to leave. Cincinnati and Memphis also left in 91.
Yeah.
They tried to merge with another conference in 93. That did not go through. So I think that's what happened to them. They just lost all their moneymakers.
Yeah.
Wikipedia just says throughout its existence, though, it was considered a major conference, the Metro.
Okay. But, hey, whatever Wikipedia says, right?
I like Wikipedia.
They were good. I mean, those teams weren't bad in some of those sports, right? Like Louisville and Memphis were really good in basketball.
Yeah.
Florida State was clearly good in football, though they didn't play Metro football, and baseball. Yeah. And remember, Dion won a 4x1 track Metro championship and then went over to the baseball field and helped them win the Metro tournament in baseball, I think.
Got some.
On the same day.
Let's go to Kentucky. Dave Bardstown, bourbon is your friend. On Monday, his son T-Bone, Tommy, turned Charlie Ward basketball jersey, Kelly Lowry, days old. Thad Busby as well. So,
oh, yeah. It's like, what was Charlie in basketball? But he was 12. Okay, got it. Okay, 12. There you go. Nice. Good age. Yeah.
Speaking of running back duo nicknames that never got the respect they were due, I still think my idea for Trey Jayshon or Jay Trayshon, Jatrayshon, and whoever got the most yards got their syllable first was a good idea.
Okay, all right.
Anyways, when you describe, this is a deep cut, everybody. You got to be a real big Star Wars guy or gal to get this one. Anyway, when you decide how Greg Sankey and the SEC are ruining college football as we know it, but then say you'd rather join the SEC because they're the premier conference with the most money, doesn't that feel like Saruman allying with Sauron because Sauron's victory seems inevitable, or Anakin joining the dark side because of Palpatine's promise he could save Padme if he had Sith powers?
Padme. Get it right, Aslan.
It does feel weird that we bash the hell out of them, but if we get that invite, we're going to be so happy.
Yeah, we talked about this a lot on headlines because I do think there's a larger faction of this fan base than people realize that does not want any part of the SEC right
no,
now.
No, really?
Oh, yeah. Almost anybody I talk to, I'd say out of the 100 people that I've talked to about this that are Florida State fans, I would say somewhere in the 70%, 75% range has been like, man, but I hate the SEC. I do think you'd get over it.
But they want to go in the SEC over the Big Ten. No.
Right now, those people I'm saying would rather be in the Big Ten.
Oh, no.
They don't want to help SEC. They don't want to help ESPN. They want to join the competitor, and I get it.
Okay.
You would get over it. But I do understand it in the moment because they haven't played a football game since that snub. It's only been 8 months or 7 months, whatever it's been. Like, it still stings. It's still in your it's
frontal
not going away
cortex.
Anytime soon. It's just I'm thinking more of, like, where would you rather be in 2028? Because that's who, if there is even a decision to make here soon, and who knows. But that's what you have to be thinking about, not where you'd rather be in 2024, because, yeah, the Big Ten, of course, screw the SEC. But by 2028 or 2030, you're thinking about your city, you're thinking about your stadium, you're thinking about your travel for your fans. You might be okay with the SEC then. Never going to love it. But, you know, I think the wounds will heal a little bit. It will scar up and eventually, you know, or no, not scar up, scab up and eventually become a scar, but it won't be a really painful wound anymore. But right now, I get it. I get why people are mad and are so mad they would want to join the Big Ten rather than the SEC if you got an offer from both. But I think hopefully cooler heads would prevail, and you'd really realize, if everything's equal, money-wise, what would be better for the city and the university over the long haul. And I don't say that without knowing, because you know this show. If you're listening to this show and you were listening in December, you know how mad I was about the SEC and how much of a joke and a crock of blank that whole thing was. And I'm not excited about that prospect either. It just beats, in my opinion, every other alternative. But yeah, I don't want to help Sankey out. I'm not in that mindset yet. By 2028, I might not mind so much when Auburn's coming to town instead of Purdue. And that's right. I did it again. Every time I get a chance, I'm going to say Purdue.
Minnesota.
No, Purdue. Okay. Purdue.
Iowa?
Mm-mm.
Purdue.
I don't mind Iowa. Not just because of Caitlin Clark. She's my niece. I get it. Not just because of that. I just like – there's something about Iowa I don't mind.
Yeah, it's
like
America.
Their offense is horrible, but I like their colors. They seem to have a great fan base for a lot of different sports. Their tradition of waving at the Children's Hospital is awesome.
Yeah.
They're always pretty good at football. I don't mind Iowa. They seem like good folks.
As someone
Nebraska,
who has a
I was going to say Nebraska fans can go to hell, though.
Oh, they're
no, I was joking. They're apparently the best people on earth.
Yeah, they are. They're great. Yeah, man. See, I don't know if it'll ever like being in the content game as we are, Corey, you and I know you don't want to think of yourself as part of that. You are a writer. You're a distinguished writer.
Right.
But you're part of the content game, content sure. brigade.
Yeah.
Being in Alabama, bait. Like when I was in Alabama and I did radio, obviously everyone wants to talk about Alabama and Auburn. But I tell you what, they did not mind if I talked about Florida and Georgia or LSU. They almost liked it just as much. I wonder if we'll get to the point where we'll still do Wake Up War Chant. We're obviously going to talk about Florida State all the time. Florida State at the front, Florida State at the back, Florida State in the middle. But like, we might be able to get away with like shows in June and July where like we just interview guys that, you know, cover LSU or cover Arkansas or Texas and Oklahoma and just talk about like, how's your offseason been over in Norman? What's going on in Austin? And I feel like, you know, because when you're part of that conference, like you really do care about everybody else. And I don't know if that's because it's the whole weird cult part of it, or it's just like we are playing really high level football and everybody else around us, like the way they play determines how we're going to end up looking to a lot of people that are determining our fate in the postseason. I just wonder, like, that's why I don't care about the travel. I mean, you know, I'm not averse to getting on a plane, and you're not going to be after we go to Ireland. You're going to love this stuff. I promise you.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think about how Doak is going to look with absolutely packed, with visiting fans doing their part as well, but also just like being able to do a show where we don't have to maybe go through like some really crazy minutia 25% of the time to get through. And we can actually like talk about football because people will probably be okay with talking about other teams. But do you think Florida State fans are still, they're going to be like, I really don't care about Kentucky football still. I don't care about.
No, but I think in this particular hypothetical, you know, I also think Florida State, yeah, they wouldn't mind in July hearing about what else, especially obviously if LSU's on the schedule,
right.
What their summer, what their offseason has been like, what they're thinking about, what they're hearing, all the rumors about the program. But I think the same thing if they were playing Washington that year, and you got a Washington podcaster or a writer on, or you got a USC writer on, or Ohio State, or Purdue even.
I don't think so. That thing that's like Purdue and Kentucky's the same thing. I just feel like there's more juice with Texas, Oklahoma, Georgia, LSU, 100%. Tennessee, than it's going to be Southern Cal, Washington, Ohio State, Michigan.
Probably, but not. It's not that. I don't think the disparity is that much when you're talking about the top of the conferences. Like if you're USC, Michigan, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Washington, Oregon, you know, if you're playing those teams, Nebraska, I think there would be not as much just because of geographically you know more about these other schools.
Exactly.
Because you also have friends that are fans of those schools.
Guys in the office, girls in the office,
you know,
women in the office.
You know, you're not going to probably be in an office with a lot of Oregon fans.
Yep.
But at the same time, I do think Florida State fans will want to – they're going to be interested in the other team. But, yes, it won't feel as local because it isn't. Washington's is a long-ass way away. So is Oregon. So is USC. So is Camp Randall, for that matter. And don't forget Lafayette, Indiana.
West.
Every single direction of that city.
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care if you're talking about North Lafayette or South Lafayette or West or East. It's not close either. I've driven to it. Not nearly as close as Tuscaloosa and Gainesville. That's all I'm saying.
Random underscore John with a multi-pronged deep question. Wish we could do phone a friend and get Ira on the show, but Ira deserves a day off every now and then. Happy 4th of July week, Stash Master and the other guy. Hmm. Blank man reference, he adds parenthetically. If FSU
you ever
declares,
see blank, did you ever see Blank Man?
I never caught it. Big Damon Wayne's guy over here, but never caught Blank Man.
I saw it in the theater. It was a dollar theater, but I saw it in the theater, yeah.
If FSU declares independence from the ACC by August, how should FSU manage the transition? Where is the money coming from? How does it get paid back to the loaners? When we move, we will clearly have a big bill to pay back, so how should FSU prioritize its spending to ensure long-term financial stability and competitive success? Should we invest more in facilities, coaching staff, or better concession stands to ensure shorter lines?
Yeah, there you go. Look, man, come on now.
I know.
You know this show,
seriously.
John.
What are we doing?
You know this show.
What are we doing?
We don't have answers for that. We're not smart enough. And I will posit this. Nobody that has a show is smart enough to answer those questions because we don't know yet. This has never been done, has it? Like Maryland did it 10 years ago? And that was – what was their fee? $60 million? We have no idea what this transition is going to be like. It was $31 million they paid?
They paid $31 of the $52 million exit fee that the conference wanted. $52 million, they ended up selling for $31 million.
All right, well, there you go. So we have no idea what this will how it will go. I literally can't even offer a guess where the money's going to come from or how you pay it back. I don't. I mean, look, if you lead the ACC and you have a big bill, you run up a pretty strong – you run up a big debt. But then you join one of those two superpowers, the debt can get paid off relatively quickly. So that you know, you're going to be making more money, a lot more money. So it would be over time. I don't know, man. How about a 5-year interest-free loan? Can you get one of those? Can universities get something like that? I keep bringing up Blakely.
Yeah,
she's got all the money in the world.
Yeah, I'm sure the
so does Scotty Barnes, for that matter, yeah. And Patrick Williams.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Patrick Williams made a boatload of money too, and Scotty Barnes is making like $34 million a year or something. So he could help pay it off.
What's Scotty getting? 5 years, $224 million, brother.
So what
That's
is that?
44.8.
Is 40. It really? He's making $45 million a year?
Scotty Barnes, baby.
Holy cow.
Starting salary 39, reaches 51 in the 29-30 season, but it's guaranteed. I mean, it's an NBA contract.
Okay, so you just asked for a loan from him.
Yeah. Scotty got us.
Yeah, man, come on.
Yeah, so,
he
still
feels bad about that Michigan loss. He wants to repay the Noles.
Yeah, I just, you know, who's gonna blink first? How do they determine? I mean, listen, I'm pretty sure whatever happens, and if it ends up being like a 9-figure exit fee, which I think Florida State still is bracing for that, or they're not bracing for it. What does ACC want? Like $152 million?
Who knows? In Florida, man. Who knows?
You know, at what point does the ACC feel like they're gonna lose? But at that point, if this is my whole thing, Corey, like if the ACC feels like they cannot win, like if these things really are not enforceable, like this is not an enforceable penalty, like if they feel like Florida State's going to walk away without paying anything, pretty much, what is the enticement for Florida State to like settle? You know, like is Florida State in the mindset of like, we really think we can leave and not spend anything? Or like very minimal amount, like maybe $5 million and then legal fees. And then we're home scot-free if we really fight our lives for this thing. Or, you know, does the ACC think that, you know, they want to fight and keep Florida State around as long as they can to get as much money? Like, where does that calculus come in where you're like, we think we can sell for $8 million? Or do you wait few, do you keep extending this lawsuit and then finally give up and be like, listen, we just really want to get it. You wanted 150. We really just want to get out an $80 million. And a year and a half later, we agree to that. Now we'll move on. I just wonder like how kind of brave do you get if you're in Florida State's position right now? Because when you read these laws, when you read like the breakdowns that Ira gives us after these hearings, you're like, man, this judge, at least the one in Florida, like seems to be siding with Florida State. And if you think you can win this thing and win it in terms of like you can get off scot-free, like what's the, you know, why wouldn't you keep fighting until you get that outcome rather than settling early? But, you know, obviously there's a calculus involved.
Literally, I don't know.
Yeah. All right.
I just don't know. And I, you know, I'm not trying to be.
No, you're not. No, I wasn't offended at all.
But I'm not trying to dismiss the question or the concern. It's an enormous concern. It is the question about this university. It's the most important question. It's just. I want to come at a place of honesty and let everybody know because it's the truth. And I thought this same thing back when a lot of non-sports headlines were going on about a decade ago, let's say. I didn't get into sports journalism to know things like this. I have no idea. Like, I didn't know I'd have to cover this. And there's really no research you can do on something like this because it's never really happened before. Yeah. And it's happening simultaneously with two different universities. The two marquee football teams in the conference are both suing the conference. This has never happened. It's untenable. I don't know how it goes on. But I know that I'm not nearly smart enough to even have an inkling of a guess how it ends and why.
Well, I'm sure
I do know it'll end. I just don't know how it will.
And if you talk to Florida State's counsel, they're like, yeah, man, we are rocking. Like, we might be able to get this thing. We can win this thing outright, and I didn't even spend any money. Meanwhile, the ACC lawyers are probably like, we feel good. Like, we think we're going to be able to hold them to the GOR, and we're going to get a whole bunch of money when they do leave. So, like, whoever you're talking to, you're probably also getting two different stories as well.
Correct.
So, nonetheless, what would make everything better is if we could just have, like, a delicious lunch for only $8.99 with a side dish of our choice and just, you know, talk about sports and just watch it on a Vegas wall of screens, Corey, you know, and just enjoy things. You can do that over at the Corner Pocket Bar and Grill over 2475 Appalachia Parkway in Tallahassee. Bingo night? I don't know what time we're dropping this show, but is the 4th on a Thursday?
Yeah, probably not bingo. Probably not bingo on the 4th of July.
Probably not doing bingo on the 4th of July. But live music on the weekends, mostly?
Typically. There was last Friday. Yeah, I was there. A lot of 80s covers, which I don't mind at all.
Is there an open dart tournament Saturday night starting at 8, Corey?
I mean, that sounds like it could be.
Yeah, it's on there. But I don't know how often we're updating the website, because they don't have to do that, because they just create awesome menus of food.
Right.
And their drinks, cold, served promptly with a smile. Go check them out, 2475 Appalachia Parkway, cptallybar.com. Corner Pocket, Bar and Grill.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use 3 kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, Corey, home stretch. Last few questions. Let's get to them. Rocket 89. Welcome to the Terror Dome. First time, I think, this person. We all see big-time college football moving to NFL-like structure. That would certainly help address much of the transfer and poaching mess we see now with players, and I believe teams have to get permission to talk to other teams' coaches in the NFL. How is it the NFL doesn't seem to have as much of a problem with endorsement deals attached as an inducement in free agency as colleges do with NIL? You don't see the Cowboys getting a free agent because they arrange for more endorsement deals for that player. That's basically what NIL is. It may happen at the pro level, but it's not what people talk about as a key reason for a deal to be struck in the NFL. Seems to me that even if there is a compensation scale and contract consistency like in the pros, if the endorsement end of things is not addressed like the NFL has it, we will still have a mess. I mean, do you want to break it to him, or do you want me to break it to him that the endorsement, the NIL is not paid.
They're not really doing a lot of actual endorsing. I have always said, though, like, if I'm a Falcons season ticket holder and I'm a billionaire and I want my team to be good, if they're after a free agent defensive lineman, why am I not offering that dude like $9 million on the side? Like, it doesn't count against the salary cap. Hey, you're getting offered about the same amount from both teams. Let's say the Bears are offering you 5 years, $40 million. The Falcons are offering you 5 years, $38 million. But on top of that, here's a $10 million check if you come play for my favorite team. Has that never happened? Wouldn't you think that would have happened? Because that is what's happening in college football. And there is a chance that these NFL guys might be like, you know what? Why don't you get – hey, why don't the Seahawks get a super fan to pay me a couple mil to come there or to stay here instead of going to free agency? Now, I know they have a bunch of the salary cap structures, and they have franchising the player and non-franchising, all that stuff. But at the end of the day, I feel like more season ticket holders and fans, hardcore fans, if they cared about their team, would buy some of these players. But no, the NFL doesn't ask their fans to do that. But in the college game, you got to, or you're going to get lapped. That's where we are with this crazy sport.
I was going to say, back in the day, and not that long ago, like, the Lakers were always a destination because it was, come to L.A., you'll become a star, and you'll get all sorts of endorsements. Right. But that's, like, no longer the case either. I mean, it just comes down to, you know, who can give you the most money. It's why the Edmonton Oilers have to always overpay for free agents because nobody wants to live in Edmonton. But
I think what's interesting about the NFL is that those endorsement deals are like real. Those are real endorsements. They're not the pay for play that's going on in college. So, how many NFL players can get like national endorsement deals?
Oh, I know, man.
That are worth, like, if Jerry Jones could say, "Hey, man, if you come to Dallas, I'm going to get you with K Jewelers."
No, national campaign. Dak's got the mattress, whatever they are, the sleep number. So that's a real thing. Sleep number, mattress.
Right. But most NFL, and I live in an NFL city half the time, most of these NFL endorsements that these guys do that aren't, the quarterback of the Cowboys is like some local dealership, Ford dealership.
Right.
Or it's, for a cable company. You know what I mean? It's not like big money stuff because for some reason that just – there's only about, 1% of the NFL gets like – and how could you? Because Kelsey gets all of them. So there aren't any other jobs, endorsement jobs left for any other NFL players. But there just aren't that many guys. There aren't that many NFL players that are on that are nationally endorsed that get that kind of money that could sway a decision. And so that's why I don't think it happens there. And then obviously, like we said, college kids, the NFL guys are still millionaires or gazillionaires in some cases. These college kids, it might be $80,000 or $140,000. Well, that's big time money to them. And so that's why it impacts more at the college level. I don't even think that was the question, but that's why, offering a guy $100,000 to come play for the Cowboys when he's already making $6 million a year or $12 million a year ain't going to get it done. But a kid that's grown up in a really rough neighborhood or doesn't have a lot of money in his family, gets offered $100,000, that could really change things.
We got to wrap this up, but
let's do it.
Is the genie out of the bottle that even if, let's say, that they end up going to players or not even employees, but some sort of quasi thing where they get revenue sharing, right? They're involved in getting money from the TV deals, and collectives kind of go away to a large degree. I mean, aren't there still going to be the fans that have the money that really have no problem dishing out six figures to help their favorite team? Like, isn't that still going to be a thing? More so that, because I know it's always a thing, obviously. We know about Eric Dickerson getting a Trans Am or whatever to go to SMU.
Right.
But it feels like we've injected it with steroids and made it so acceptable that even if we try to cap it, it feels like there's really no turning back. At least I don't think there is.
Yeah, I think if they end up doing that and making some sort of unionized deal where the players get a percentage of the TV revenue, I think in that deal – There'll have to be some wording where it's like you cannot, an endorsement deal, it has to be an actual endorsement deal that is signed off on by the NCAA as legit.
Yeah.
Something like that. You can't just say, I'm endorsing Corey Clark's water heaters. And then you realize, okay, that's not a real company. Corey Clark just gave this kid $250,000. It's got to be legit. There got to be legit bonus, legit businesses with legit commercials, and they have to be signed off by someone in the NCAA or whoever's running college football. I think that's what they'll try to do to curb it. But I also think, Aslan, and I know this is going to blow you away, they might still try to cheat in college football to get the best players. I think that might stay around even if this thing actually gets some structure to it.
But they always were. I just feel like they're going to continue to do it even at a more kind of brazen way, even if,
I think they have
the appetite. Like, do these high money boosters want to be like, man, I'm sick of this. Like, I want my team to win, but like, I'm not loving this. I'm not loving stroking a check for $235,000 every year to help keep this thing rolling.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I think really is the case. That will be the case. It's like, man, it ain't on me to give you players.
Yeah,
I'm tired of doing this. Go recruit better. Go have I obviously there will always be cheating and there will always be some incentives to get players to come to your school. But I don't think these NIL collectives, the people that fund them, will be sad at all if there is some real structure to this where they don't have to fund a roster anymore. And they can actually work out legitimate endorsement deals for these players. But then it's like, okay, what are you going to give them? 4 years, $10 million? Like, is that legitimate? Like, I don't know who puts a cap on it. So who knows, man? Who knows where this thing is going?
Two off-topic questions to close us out. The Walking Knoll 01, instead of He's done all he can to generate discussion, so here goes nothing. I figure I could ask him hypotheticals you've never answered before instead of, you know, what team you would compare this one to or what backup you think will be more crucial. Right. So instead of that, let's get to know you guys better. On to the question. What's one opportunity or experience that you did not take advantage of when you had the chance that when you look back now, you wish you would have? His was baseball. He quit playing too early, did not pursue it in high school. Thanks for reading the long questions, Aslan. You two are awesome. Yeah, athletically, I might have been able to like play Division III soccer if I would have stuck with soccer. But I don't regret that. Like I like coming to a big university like Florida State. I think the social aspect was awesome. I probably mentioned this before. I never majored in communications. I mean, that's all we had at Florida State at the time. I think now we have like a media department where you can, you know, do like actual, you know, not journalism, but you can create content that, you know, people consume a lot of in this day and age. So, you know, it never hurts to know what you want to do early and follow it, you know, and I kind of knew what I want to do, but I'm just like, yeah, I don't want to major in communication. My parents are from the old country, need to be a doctor or a lawyer, an engineer. So I tried to do like the lawyer thing and that just wasn't really what I wanted to do. But it all worked out fine, man. I'm sitting in my house relaxing, talking to Corey Clark, and he carries a show every single day and I get to put my name on it. So, you know, I mean, I see some of my friends that are lawyers, like Joe, the lawyer, my buddy, and he's absolutely killing it. He's got like an absolutely gorgeous house in St. Pete and I would love to have that, but, maybe he's got things better now, but like, man, he struggled for a while. Like it was not fun doing what he had to do to get to the places he had to. And I had to go to Montana and Mississippi and Alabama. So I guess I could say the same thing, but, that's the only thing that kind of stands in my head of taking advantage of stuff. Like I thought LinkedIn, when it was offered as an IPO, was a completely terrible idea, Corey. And I think LinkedIn stock is like probably worth hundreds of dollars right now. So I didn't miss out on anything there. $195 for LinkedIn stock. Why? I just don't.
That's weird. I don't know. The only time I ever see LinkedIn is when I Google something and it's like, oh man, well, I'm not a member of LinkedIn, so I can't read this person's bio. And that's the end of the discussion.
Like Facebook, but like looking for a job. Everyone's going to find a job. It's like, yeah, but like, how are we going to create revenue? But anyhow, they did. Obviously, they're making a lot of money on it. NVIDIA. Like, I wish I would known about NVIDIA 2 years ago. That would have been cool. Like, get on some stock at the real the base.
That's all right, but, though. Yeah. You need money, more money, more problems, buddy. So, right. As a wise man once said.
Anything stands out for you, Corey? What opportunity or experience you did not take advantage of?
Not really.
No regrets, this guy over here. No regrets.
No, I mean, we have plenty of regrets, and not ones that I want to get onto on this show.
But he wants to know you better, man.
I'm trying to think because, yes, there are regrets.
Shave your head earlier?
Do what? Yeah, I should have shaved my head earlier. That is a regret. I should have gotten into shape earlier and also shaved my head earlier. But, yeah, man, like
what about baseball? Did you quit baseball too early? Did you quit saying sports?
Yes, I quit after. Well, what my regret when it comes to baseball is I never worked out a day in my life when I was a teenager. Not once. Never. Didn't lift one weight. I would have liked to have seen what I could have been if I had. But I didn't. And so then by the time I was a junior, I played varsity, but I barely played, and then I didn't play my senior year, which I don't regret that because I wasn't going to play anyway. But I regret not actually working hard to be as good as I could have been. So I try to instill some of the regrets I have with Brady and make him hate baseball so much that he wants to quit. That's my goal. No, I don't really have like a regret. Like when it comes to like a previous marriage.
Well, let's not go down that path.
Well, I'm not going to go down that road only to say that like obviously when you have a marriage that fails, there are mistakes that were made. And I regret some of those, but then it's like, do I? Because look at where I am now. Mm. And that's, you know what I mean? Like I
love you, Steph.
Right. That's right. I wouldn't know Stephanie, but then, you know, I don't know, maybe not having a second kid. Mm. But then as Brady, as Shanna said, when, and this was a really good line. I think she said it like just off the cuff. Cause she was asked, my mom asked her one day when Brady was like three, she's like, do you think y'all will have another one? And she goes, you know, Brady's going to have to slow down or Corey's going to have to speed up for me to have another one. Meaning maybe I wasn't the best at tracking down Brady because Brady was like triplets. He was all over the place. So, yeah, that was so maybe another kid would have helped Brady. You know what I mean? Like just having – not being an only child. So, but, yeah, other than that, I, you know, don't – career-wise, I feel like it worked out the way it worked out. I didn't really squander any opportunities. I got really lucky to be where I am now. It was a long answer. Sorry, everyone.
When I mailed all my demo tapes out the first time I got them made, like, so I got literally like 60 VHS tapes made, and I sent like five out at a time every 2 weeks when there would be a job open. Like a batch of jobs would open up, and I'd literally would put VHS tapes in envelopes and mail them out across the country. And I remember the first batch I sent out to, one tape went to Laredo, Texas, and like they wanted me for the job to be like a sports reporter. And I remember I called the guy who helped me make the demo tape to like talk about it. And for some reason, just like, yeah, you know, maybe, you know, tell them that you want to talk to your parents and, you know, think it over. And so for whatever reason, I kind of dragged my feet on it, and I ended up having to wait like another year and a half to finally get another job offer, which was the one in Montana. Mm. So part of me wonders like if I would have jumped on the first one that I would have had, like how much like further along would I have maybe been? Like I would have at least started like savings and like getting my career started like a year and a half sooner, but that's not the end of the world. Man, I had auditions for SEC Network and MLB Network and I bricked. So like, I remember one of my friends who works in Texas now. And he was just like, he was always like, man, I just wish I would have been able to get a chance at it. Like that, his whole thing was, and he's really talented. Like he's a great storyteller. I think I do like better highlights than him. I think I'm better on camera, but when it comes to, like creating video and story, I think he's much better than I am. But he was always, you know, he would like ask me questions about everything. I'm like, I don't want to talk about this, man. It's not a great memory. But he's like, man, I just wish I would have had the chance. Like at least you had the chance. And I'm like, yeah, I did. Like, so like I knew like I was probably good enough to get those jobs. I just didn't prove it when I had to. And I moved on like fairly well. You think I'd be bitter all these years later? I'm more bitter about the girl I broke up with 5 years ago than that. Mm. Anyhow, moving on. Last question is our guy Mark Naples. He loves the idea about the occasional professional segment. He says he would come on to talk about horror and funny stories in the HOA world.
Wait, what?
Horror. And
horror.
Sorry. Horror. Okay. Horror. Hey, man. Son of immigrants, you know.
Right. Understood.
Pronunciation never been my strong suit. Corey, your article was great about recruiting. He loved the dig at Dabo. Can't get enough of that. Can't wait for Coach Speak to come back and see what Dabo says next season. High school recruiting is still okay, but let's face it, Trevor Lawrence, Deshaun Watson ain't walking through that door anytime soon. Not with Mike and Kirby out recruiting him in all phases. Right. As for the 4th of July, now that I think about it, Corey, this is probably being listened to on a Friday. I don't think I'm going to release it on, maybe I'll release it on 4th of July. I don't know. I shouldn't.
Might as well. What do you care? It's out there for 2 days. Yeah. Who cares?
Do you guys think amateur fireworks at home should be banned? I do, says our lawyer friend. A guy lighting gunpowder and chemicals after 12 Bud Lights will only result in a bottle rocket going right into his face and putting him in the ER or worse. They still sell the stuff in the Target parking lot. Go Noles.
Yeah, I get it. But no, I think it's like, I think that if you harm a child with fireworks, that should be you should be arrested. Mm. That's not just my bad. Just like you would in any other endeavor, if you harm them with a chainsaw, you're probably going to be arrested for child endangerment. So if you have absolutely like fire a bottle rocket up a kid's mouth, yeah, go to jail. But otherwise, the grown adults taking their chances, living life, just like our forefathers intended. Mark, come on, you best believe Ben Franklin would have been lighting fireworks if they had that kind of technology back then. Did they? I guess they did, right? Didn't the Chinese invent fireworks like thousands of years ago?
I think so, yeah. They get credit
when
for
did
it.
Fire, I wonder if they, like, when the Civil War ended, did they set off fireworks? Like, how did they know?
Well, the bombs bursting in the air. Fireworks were invented in China over 2,000 years ago. Most of the world's fireworks are still made there today. Since 2010, China's exported almost 90% of the world's fireworks.
According I see what you're saying now, Mark. Yes, we should not. We should get rid of fireworks.
China.
I see what you're saying. Keeping that country afloat.
Oh man. Well, I think you can only buy like sparklers and, you know, the things that pop when you throw them on the ground, and the fountains that, you know, you put on the ground, you light, and just shoots up sparks. Like the projectiles, like the Roman candles and the bottle rockets. At least, best I remember, you could not get those in parking lots. At least not in Florida. you had to find like the legitimate fireworks stores. Because like those were firecrackers. Fireworks are like the bundle you would buy at the grocery store. And you had to say that you were doing like demolition to help, you know, clear out brush behind your house. And that's why you needed all these things. So
I remember as a kid going, Georgia didn't sell them at all. So when my dad wanted them, we'd have to go to Tennessee and they'd right over the Tennessee state line. It's either Tennessee or South Carolina, maybe both. They would have these huge fireworks stores. I think they still might.
They do, yeah.
And that's where you'd go to get like the, I don't know, the widow maker.
The mortars and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, that's, you'd go to those places where it's like that. Look, it can get dicey. I remember, in fact, at one of my dad's parties, Shanna, the aforementioned Shanna, this is a regret. She got one of my dad's drunk friends accidentally tipped over the canister that the firework was in, and it shot right into her leg.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah. She took it like a champ, though. It was, you know, she took it like a champ. Everybody laughed. I didn't. I felt bad for her, but my dad and his drunk friends laughed. So I see where you're coming from, Mark. But she survived, and she didn't have to be at the party. You know what I mean? She took her, she took her life in her own hands by going to that park that day.
We used to do something called Mortars and Mayhem on the 4th of July. We did it for like 6 years straight, where we went and spent so much money on like the legitimate fire, like Roman candles, bottle rockets, and mortars, which of course had those canisters. And then it's like almost like a bean bag. You drop it in there. It's got a huge fuse. You light it, and then it's the one that shoots up into the air like 100 yards and explodes 2 or 3 different times. And we knocked it over one time, but those days were awesome. Yeah, we were in our mid-20s, like complete idiots, and nobody ever got hurt. So I don't want to see those banned. But then you can probably send me a link of some kid that probably just got hurt on the 4th of July, and I'll feel terrible about it.
Right.
But I didn't do it. I knew what I was doing. I did it properly. I did it responsibly. So. All right, that show was way too long. Thanks for hanging in there, though, everybody.
Oh,
Jeff Cameron show, question mark?
Probably not. I don't think he's coming the rest of the week. I think 4th and 5th he has taken off.
As one should. Hey, by the way, I found out apparently you're going on vacation. You're like, we don't even talk about these things anymore. You just plan these things and leave, and I could have planned something myself.
Well, it's not for another couple weeks, but yeah, I'm going on a cruise.
I told you when I was going to the British Virgin Islands like a month in advance. That's what partners do, man. Come on.
Come on.
Come on, Riggs.
Bad. Hey, Aslan. Hey, Aslan. Riggs. I'm going on a cruise on July 15th. Prepare accordingly.
Your wife said you're going to be out of office, so we're not even going to try to record shows while you're on the boat, right?
Correct, but I feel like that's a good week to take off. It's literally right in the middle of July.
That's fine. That would have been nice to know.
I would have gotten around to mention it to you eventually. I think, I thought I had. Clearly, I hadn't. So, yes, I would have brought it up eventually. That's my fault.
Tom, clear out the sofa. I'm coming up to the big city.
Yeah, man. Go take a trip, dog.
I think I will. He's Corey Mazzon. Thanks so much for listening to another week of Wake Up War Chant presented by Vitamin Energy.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.